Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and yes, even foes in the family. And to the standing between the living and the dead, service, family members. And this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 424, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order. This unique viewpoint, this unique arrangement, allows us to read the whole Bible as a single true nonfiction story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history, the present and the future. Today we're reading Psalm 30. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I am weak, but thou art strong and almighty. So Lord, I humbly pray that you grant me your energy, your strength, your unction and your anointing, the freedom and the liberty and the power of your Holy Spirit. To share in these devotionals today, in a effective way, for your glory, your praise, and your honor, and Holy Father God, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, faults, and failures. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us all. And fill us all afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the freedom and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand your holy word, to love it, to obey it, to not take it for granted, to share with others the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, thus saith the Lord, the Word of God, the Holy Bible. At Psalm 30. A psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. A psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. And so, dear friends, let's pray. Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for what you have done with us in our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and our souls from the simple reading of your holy word. Help us to cherish this precious memory and to do your work and your will according to your holy word, not how we may feel about things. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, and to the standing between the living and the dead. That's what we're doing. Beloved, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, number 932, where I simply read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary. This podcast, beloved, is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8 in the Holy Word of God, where it says Ezra and the Levites read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. The aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God, and giving the sense of it, it is my humble prayer that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ would be revived and the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come and saved from the eternal burning hell. By believing in none other than the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who said the most important words ever said in the history of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, dear friends, we are reading Zechariah 14:16. Let's pray. Holy Father God, bless and anoint and prosper the reading of your holy word. And grant us your unction and your anointing to understand it, to comprehend it, to apply it to our lives, to obey it, to love it more, and to cherish it more, and to proclaim it more, including your gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all of the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Beloved, I just read in your hearing Zechariah 14:16. Now here is the sense of it, the understanding of it. Today, with the help of the Holy Ghost and with the help of Dr. Matthew Henry and his commentary, as it is impossible for all nations literally to come to Jerusalem once a year to keep a feast, it is evident that a figurative meaning must here be applied. Gospel worship is represented by the keeping of the Feast of Tabernacles. Every day of a Christian's life is a day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Every Lord's Day, especially, is the great day of the feast. Therefore, every day let us worship the Lord of hosts and keep every Lord's Day with peculiar solemnity. It is just for God to withhold the blessings of grace from those. For God to withhold the blessings of grace from those who do not attend the means of grace. It is a sin that is own punishment. Those who forsake the duty forfeit the privilege of communion with God. A time of complete peace and purity of the church will arrive. Men will carry on their common affairs and their sacred services upon the same holy principles of faith, love, and obedience. Real holiness shall be more diffused because there shall be a more plentiful pouring forth of the Spirit of holiness than ever before. There shall be holiness even in common things. Amen. Every action and every enjoyment of the believer should be so regulated according to the will of God that it may be directed to his glory. Our whole lives should be as one constant sacrifice or act of devotion. No selfish motive should prevail in any of our actions, but how far is the Christian church from this state of purity? Allow me to repeat that, because that's what we're dealing with today. But how far is the Christian church from this state of purity? Other times, however, are at hand, and the Lord will reform and enlarge his church, as he has promised. Yet in heaven alone will perfect holiness and happiness be found. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this time together. And we thank you, Lord, for reminding us that one day the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, will reign and we will worship him. From all over the world, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And thank you through his shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection, we can be a part. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the family segment, or the what I call the family verses, where God deals with the family. And oh, of course, as always, he knows what he is doing, because we have more problems in the family than a little bit, as we used to say. And one of the reasons why we have such problems in the family is because of the devil. Now, I know that some of you people, Baptists, Methodists, Protestants, Evangelicals, Catholics, don't believe that the devil exists anymore. Because that's what you've been taught. But somebody is bopping our heads. Why is it, you tell me, and how is it that people who got married, which is very hard to do, God has to be involved in that to make that happen. It is a marriage itself is a miracle. You must understand that. I've seen people, including myself, back in the day, not thinking about marriage, and playing the field, not no serious prospects, and then zip, bam, boom, God will do something, or God will have you to meet somebody, or God works miracles for marriages to come to pass, and this great feeling of love that people have, that they claim for people and all of that. And that's God's doing. God is the one who puts people together, by the way. And some people can put themselves together, and of course that's going to be a mess. But and then all of a sudden, after you have been married and you have had children and everything is fine and dandy, things get worse. Real quick like. And you begin to hate one another. Now, how can that be if there was no devil? The devil is the one who is trying to divide you. See, the devil wants to do the opposite of what God has done. Have you ever met somebody who is just contrary all of the time? They're full of the devil. They can't stand, they have the spirit of the devil in them. They can't stand to cooperate. They can't stand to submit. They can't stand to obey, when in reality, those things produce blessings. So, we've already read much of Ephesians chapter 6, which deals with the devil. Let me go through it real quick. As a reminder, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And your marriage will not succeed, as I have told you, if you don't understand that passage. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Live by the word, people. Live by the Bible. Some of you people are so immature, so juvenile. It's all about you getting offended. It's all about you having your way, and when you can't, you take your little marbles or your doll baby and run away and get away from people. And you people, grown people, acting like children, won't speak to each other, pass as fat ships in the night, mad at each other all of the time, do the silent treatment. Let me just help you. Some of you people are not saved. You're just not saved. Because Christian people don't act that way. People who are truly born again, I'm not going to live like that. You're religious. I'm telling you to your face. You are religious. You are a churchy person. But you're not saved. You're not born again if you're doing that. So live by truth, not your feelings. We walk by faith. I can't say it like Dr. K.C. Price, Frederick K.C. Price. He said it many times. We walk by faith, not by sight. That means not by feelings, not by emotion, but by doing, walking by faith is doing right and obeying God regardless of the situation, man, woman. You people act like children, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. May I just help you a little bit here? If you've been married over, say, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, maybe, you are in the club of people who probably don't want to be married. There's a few couples, we thank God for them. You can see them when they're walking into Walmart or a Target, they're reaching for each other's hand. We thank God for them. We love them. They're sweethearts. And we love to see that. And by the way, even if you don't have that, you ought to be happy for other people who do have it. But I would say 99% of you people don't have that. And you have joined the club of don't want to be married anymore. That's when the Bible kicks in. The Word of God kicks in. True Christianity kicks in. And you say, I may not want, admit it. You may not want to be married to the person you're married to anymore. But you do it anyway for the glory of God, yes. Also for the children's sake. Yeah, that's what mature people do, by the way. You understand me? For the children's sake. For your testimony's sake, yes. For your own well-being, and for the well-being of your marriage partner. Okay? That's what mature people do. They suck it up. It's not always about them like a little child throwing a temper tantrum. You suck it up and you do it. Amen. I know I'm right about it. Let me help you further. I don't want to be married to my wife. We've been married now for 34 years. I am thankful to God because I've been straight up with my wife and a straight up person from Jump Street even before we got married, that we still got it going on. And as far as sexual relations and all of that right there, I mean, that's not dead at all. And see, you know, I say to myself, "Sel, well, that's what you really got married for, to have sex legally. That's the main thing you wanted." Okay, so you got that. So what you do is you count your blessings. And you say, "Well, it ought to be more than that." Well, it's not. So what? What are you going to do about it? Okay? You count your blessings. Stop reading all these books and obey the Bible. And let me just say this to you. Some of you people don't stay married long enough to reap thousands of benefits by staying in your marriage. Thousands, I said. Some of you need to find your spouse in a hurry before somebody takes them, or they take somebody themselves. Because you know how y'all act stupid and juvenile. I got to be the first one to get somebody. I still got it. No, you don't. I hate to tell you this, man. You people, especially baby boomers, you think you got something you don't have. Excuse the bad English. You don't have nothing. You better stick with the one you got, because they know all of your, all of the bad spots, and they deal with it. They move on. Yeah, and marriage may not be pretty all the time, but it's good for you. There are thousands of benefits, man. There's the benefit of comfortability. Yes, yeah. You know what you got. You know what you're dealing with. You know, I mean, as somebody said, it's better to stay with the devil you got than trying to find another devil out there. By the way, you know, you 45 years old, 50 years old, you have children, and you really want to go through this process, this stupidity of trying to date somebody and find somebody else, talking about you going on our time. No, man, it was your time. Already, you need to be a father. You need to be a mother. You need to be a grandfather and a grandmother. What in the world are you talking about? Our time, my foot. You kicking back and forth with Ashley Madison and what is the other thing called? Where you got to swipe. I saw a commercial the other day. It was quite disgusting. Old woman. And with her son, he's sitting at the counter swiping. Oh, he looks nice. Oh, I guess the father and the husband had just died or something. And this old woman, old black woman, you've seen the commercial. Pardon me, she up there swiping her son, and he's right there like a dummy, talking about, yeah, how about him? How about him? He must be a homosexual. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what these people, I don't know what you people are doing. I'll tell you, I know something's going to happen here soon, because you people are going crazy. We got a man seriously talking about he's going to be the next Noah, and he's going to take all of the giraffes and all of the animals and sperm seeds and everything else and vegetables to Mars. And he needs to be told that the best way to get off this earth is through the rapture of the church, believe in Jesus Christ, and be saved. Anyway, I have to move on. I have to preach. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace by the grace of God. Our family has had a ministry of witnessing to people and passing out gospel tracts ever since its beginning. You need to do the same thing. Miles McPherson tells you to do something. What? Yeah, do something for Jesus. You say you're saved. Do something, man, woman. Do something. Do something. Do something. Please shut up if you're not going to do something. Please. Please. We don't want to hear from you. Gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You need that shield of faith. Have faith in God, Jesus Christ said. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Stay in prayer and stay in the Word. You want to have victory in your Christian life? Stay in prayer and stay in the Word. I have to hurry because this is our third day in this passage, and I'm trying to wrap it up so we can move on to the next passage. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. Now, my dear friends, let's pray for families and for others at this time. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the healing of all Christian marriages around the globe. And we know that you can answer that prayer because you have all power and might in your hands. We pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Save all the families that are lost in this sin-cursed world, in darkness. Have your Holy Ghost to not give them rest until they come to know your Savior. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving and mourning all around the globe. There's a lot of pain all around the globe tonight, because of the death of loved ones and because of the sickness of loved ones. So many people are discombobulated with this thing because it messes up many, many things. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll have all of this to come to pass around the world, in our country, in our communities, in our churches, in our families, and in our lives. And Holy Father God, I pray that you will help us all as people who believe in Christ to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent of our wicked sins and to get back to you, our first love, by the power of your grace, your mercy, your love, and the power of your Holy Spirit. Then, Lord, forgive us of our wicked, evil, and ungodly sins of disobeying your great commandment and disobeying your great commission. And, Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for all government officials and all people who are in the ministry of government. We truly pray for the salvation of these people and revive those who are saved. And it makes no difference to us whether they're Democrat or Republican or Independent. Crucify their flesh and fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit. Cast the devil and the demons of hell out of their minds, their hearts, their souls, and spirits. Rebuke and bind the devil from their minds, so, Lord, that in obeying your holy word, that we may lead peaceful lives. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would bless and protect all of the people who are being persecuted in this country and in countries around the world as for their faith in Christ. We pray that you would bless and protect them and provide for them, give them your grace for their trying hours and their dying hours, and help them to be prepared, help them not to recant, to back up, or to deny you in any way, and prepare us for our day and help us to stand just as strong by your grace and by your strength and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And now, Lord, I pray for all of the millions of people who are hurting and grieving and mourning from the death of loved ones, multiple death of loved ones, and multiple hospitalizations of loved ones. One lady said her whole family got sick with the coronavirus plague. And so, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for a few by name. We pray for the family and friends of Kentucky custodian Bill Bailey, for the family and friends of Kentucky bus driver James Monroe Austin. We pray for the family and friends of Kentucky teacher Amanda Nutt. We pray for the family and friends of Kentucky bus monitor Lisa Butler. We pray for the family and friends of Kentucky teacher Matt Cockrell. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of the thousands of people who have sent in prayer requests and their needs. And Lord, we thank you for the grace and strength and the power of your Holy Spirit to pray for all of those people repeatedly and to continue to be praying for new ones even today. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, and life, financial and material, protection and provision, mental and physical blessings, Lord, upon them all. And we pray, Lord, that you will protect them from the coronavirus plague. We also pray for some new prayer requests that have come in. Mabel, please heal her son, Fred, from coronavirus, and heal her from sickness and ailments caused by blood pressure medication. We pray for Rose. Please deliver her from the stronghold of Satan and his agents. We pray for Terrence. Please bless him with a good job. We pray, Lord, for those who have trusted Christ as Savior through the preaching of the gospel through this ministry and all others. Help them all to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for Josphat, Jeff, Ivan, Joshua, and Pule. We also pray for the people who have recommitted their lives to Christ through the preaching of your word and the preaching of your gospel. Even though I don't give this invitation, you have sent the people our way. In fact, I have never asked them to write in and let us know. But Lord, you did it, and I give you the glory, praise, and honor. It's a miracle to me. And I pray for Zamora, Judy, Yoda, Obed, and Andres. We commit these souls into your hands, and we commit our souls into your hands as well. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray now, Lord, help me. Grant me your energy, your strength, your unction, and your anointing, your freedom and your liberty, and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach, Lord, your Holy Gospel in the series, Get Your House in Order and Prepare to Meet Thy God. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, save those who are lost through the preaching of the gospel, revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, For God so loved the world, these are the words of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, that means that if you are in this world, God loves you. That he gave his only begotten Son, God gave up his only begotten Son, to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed. Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins, however. Our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, that whosoever believeth in him, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, the word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish, that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner. And I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. And change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to truly repent of my sins past. And to truly repent of my sins present. And to turn from my evil life. And to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on. I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.